Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, pretty full show tonight. We've got Daryl Dixon, Wheel of Time, Ahsoka, Invasion, and three or four episodes of The Changeling, because I don't know if Karen has seen episode four, but we have at least three. So without further ado, I'm going to let in a co-host so that I don't have to babble. Good evening.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Did you watch just the first three of Changeling, or have you seen all four?
No, I've seen four. I had already seen the first three last week when we spoke.
Well, I know you had. I just didn't know if you knew when the next episode had dropped. But yeah, I've seen all four also.
Okay.
So, fun times
great.
Awake. Holy crap.
New show. Talk about, yeah. Jamie should be here in a sec, right? She should be here now.
A little Daryl Jamie's always fashionably late.
I know, right? She likes to keep us waiting, make a big deal when she enters the room.
Yes. Grand entrance.
Yep, but I think we're all caught up. We got the Wheel of the Wheel of Time tonight.
Yes, Wheel of Time.
Changeling, Invasion, Ahsoka, Daryl Dixon. We got it's amazing that in the middle of the strike we got a full slate of TV this week.
And next week we'll have AHS because that comes back tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. I don't know if I can watch it. Kim Kardashian's in it.
I
don't know.
You know what?
I mean,
we'll talk about it later because Jamie just got here. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of over AHS.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hello, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I take that back. I think I've seen one episode, when it was first on that I watched, and then decided I didn't.
They're prone to some stunt casting on that show now and then. And this season is one of them. But, yeah, we'll talk about it next week. Because we got a full slate tonight. We got five shows to talk about tonight.
Yep.
All right.
So you guys should probably jump right into the Daryl Dixon show.
Yep. Yeah. All right. This was episode, what is this, episode two, episode three? Episode two?
Two.
In this episode, they go on the road, right? Sister, what's her name? Sister Emma?
Isabel.
Sister Isabel.
Is it Isabel?
It is Isabel. Emma's the wife in a Changeling, which I just watched. Sister Isabel and Daryl and Sister Sidekick go on the road, right, with Laurent. And they come to this, community of children. And in a very refreshing change for The Walking Dead, nobody is psycho or sadistic or tries to kill them. I mean, none of these kids. They're like a normal. It's been a long time since anybody in The Walking Dead ran into a bunch of people who were just nice and normal people trying to get by, which these kids are. But there's a mean old man up the road who has to be dealt with. So it was a little bit of a slow episode, right? It existed to give us Isabel's backstory, I guess, was a big part of this, right?
Yeah.
Which is
a lot of
that.
Episode two is about, lying and lying to protect people, and I don't know, thinking about it, that was, I don't know, to me, that was, a big part of the episode. You know what I mean? Because there's, them lying to Laurent about the horse and the fact that he lies to the kids, they lie and pretend he's somebody who's not. But not only that, he lies about that lady going to not die, but then also you find out that the kids lie, the one girl lies to the other ones, and it's all about protecting the people, but it obviously does not necessarily work out well in every circumstance in the episode. I don't know. Just that's for whatever reason what kind of stuck out to me. But yeah, a lot of it's about the flashbacks.
Yeah, which I kind of didn't, I don't know what I really gained from Isabel's flashback that she was like she would go out and like go to clubs and like meet men and rob them, right? She was like a pickpocket and a thief, and she would steal their watches and their money and stuff, right? So she, mm-hmm. like, she was not a very likely candidate to become a nun.
Right.
I guess the end of the world changes
people. I was just
going to say
the apocalypse will do weird things to you, right?
Right.
This episode, though, I'm just going to say, is where it definitely shows when it's about... like where Laurent came from.
And well, we learn the big reveal about Laurent's birth, right?
Yeah.
And who he really is.
Which is so much glass to bust. But I know everybody's comparing it to that and complaining about that.
To what? Everybody's comparing it to what?
The Last of Us. Because this episode really makes you feel like that with his mother and stuff.
Does someone have a baby when they're... Oh, yeah, yeah. And The Last of Us, that turns out to be how...
okay.
The little girl was born. Yeah, yeah, her mother
yeah,
was...
Yeah, that's like the main story
yeah,
of The Last
yeah,
of Us.
Yeah, yeah, it's near... Well, it's not the main story, but it's near the end.
Well,
like,
but that's
in one
why
of the,
she's immune. And granted, he's not immune. This isn't that. But I'm saying that's kind of the whole, idea of Last of Us.
Yeah, that's funny because that being why she's immune is like kind of like not really what I, what I really take away from that because her, like being raised without a mother and all that is such a
right.
powerful character. But anyway,
right, that's not the main part of the story, but that's kind of the reveal in that.
This kind of doesn't make any sense. Like, so it turns out that Laurent is Isabel's nephew, the child of her sister,
mm-hmm.
who was bitten, who was like so barely pregnant that like she wasn't even. She wasn't even showing. Isabel didn't know her sister was pregnant. And
well,
then,
I think
of course,
she
like,
says she's 7 months or something like that. She was hiding
yeah,
it very well.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah,
this giant, like 8-pound baby comes out of her. But whatever, he survives. He doesn't get infected. But it just doesn't. It just doesn't like make any like so. Like she has kept from him the secret that his like. What's the big deal to be like your mother died when you were a baby? And you're like she's cooked up this huge story that his father
went
much of this about his story that they've told Laurent, and he's supposed to be a genius, and this story just does not hold. It's not believable. I mean, obviously the kid is like he's in denial, and he's really never met anybody except a bunch of nuns before.
Yeah,
This
is again about the lie, but I mean. Other than having seen Last of Us, though, I still don't quite get why being infected while they're pregnant necessarily makes him a miracle, but, you know.
She was, like, you know, basically dead when the baby came out, right? I guess that's why they think he's, like, the savior of humanity.
Well,
because
I'm guessing they think he's special because of that. I'm just saying, like, that never quite even necessarily made sense to me with Last of Us was all I meant, that, like,
okay,
that
but this is not
be infected. No, I know. I'm just saying, okay, so she was infected and she died. I don't see how that necessarily makes him a miracle child that's going to be important.
Okay, it was like, Jamie, it was like the first day of the apocalypse. They had barely ever seen a zombie before.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. To them.
And I'm pretty sure no other pregnant woman came in and died and gave birth in the last 12 years. It's a very rare, extremely rare occurrence, right? Like,
true. But in the world of The Walking Dead, I don't know. To me, that he's, going to be the savior or something. Like, I don't see how
that's what they believe. But that's what they believe.
Yeah,
I'm not saying believe it. They believe it. They're nuns.
Yeah.
They're religious people. They believe it for some reason. But I'm saying, I mean, they're not doctors. She was dead, right? Like, I don't know. So in last week's episode, it was said that he was like a super genius, and they believed he was going to save humanity through his incredible intellect or whatever, right? Like, they didn't really say that, but it was implied,
right? Yeah, I don't
think
it was
right?
really. Yeah, it was kind
but
of
it was,
implied.
It was
I don't know
implied.
That he ever really explained why he could help them, but. they think
no, but it was implied that because he was a super genius was the reason why he had to be taken to, you know, to the priest who was going to, like, raise him and teach him in a way that they can't. And, like they did all they can with this kid. They got to give him this priest so he can, like, educate him or whatever and prepare him.
I didn't know that I took it. It was because he was smart. But I guess thinking about it, that kind of makes some sense. You have to remember, when I watched this, I watched it in, like, two sittings. So I would have seen this part not that long
after. It was, like, the only possible reason that was given last week. They're like, oh, he's so good with numbers, and he understands things, and he sees things, and blah, blah, blah. They're really on not about how special
he is. I just never
is.
Really thought about it, but you're right. No, I'm not saying you're not right. I'm just saying I hadn't really thought it through.
Week it appears that he might be seen to be, like, that his birth was some kind of a sign or something, right? I don't really know, but that has changed, but the kid, they've been lying to Ron. I don't even know if they've ever told him, I don't know if they told him, like, you're the savior. I don't know, he's very sheltered. He believes everything they tell him. He believes his father went off to fight. Even the other kids, like, all laugh at him. I'm not sure he ever met another kid before. Do you think he ever met another kid? I don't know. Yeah. So he's, like, the weird kid that, like, all the other kids, you know, these other kids, like, they're not totally mean to him. And in the end, he wants to, typical of a kid, he wants to stay. And you know, Bill's like, no, you're coming with us. And then he's, like, sulking and angry the whole rest of the way. So... I guess there wasn't really much that went on in this episode, except to your point about, like, it was all about people, like, everybody was telling lies because they thought it was the best interest of the party being lied to, right?
Daryl's the only one that's kind of like, you know, to be fair, he does lie to the kids, but I mean, in regards to Laurent, like, he's telling her you shouldn't lie to him.
Daryl doesn't lie for the benefit of the other person. Daryl lies because he needs to get what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he needs to get a horse and get out of there or whatever. He's not, like, telling them, he's not sugarcoating the world. He's not lying to protect them. He's lying as part of his plan to get what he needs. He would not lie to protect those kids. Daryl, we know from the other show, he really sort of has a soft spot for kids, I think, partly because of his own very unhappy childhood. Although he sort of remembered some good times. They watched Mork and Mindy in this episode. The only videotape they have is a VHS of Mork and Mindy. Daryl has some good memories of watching the show with Merle.
If the world ever ends and we keep like a DVD player or something, make sure we have something good to take to the end of the world that isn't Mork and Mindy.
I used to watch Mork and Mindy when I was a kid also. See how that one kid had to ride the bicycle to power the
hatch. That's all you're going
to
make me
like in the hatch. So whatever, in the lost hatch, somebody has to ride the bike. Yeah. It's all about that's really what it was all about, lying to, like, protect the people you love, or not the people you love, but people you care about. And Daryl's the only he's the only honest liar in the bunch, if I could call him that, right? Liar who's not gonna tell you what you want to hear. And then, so the only other thing that happens is Tattoo Face is tracking them, which, you know, I mean, he goes into the Abbey, and there's, like, nothing but clues. Everywhere you look in that Abbey is a clue to where Daryl went, right? There's, like, the recording where he gives his name and, like, everything about himself. There's the map on the wall. It's, like, only going to take 5 minutes for that guy to catch them. So, like I guess, I mean, the point of that was just to foreshadow what's coming, I guess, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean, that guy annoys me because, I don't know, because he's just like this, you know, he's a bad guy. We don't yet know the reason why he's a bad guy, you know, or is he a bad guy? I mean, we know bad guy, every bad guy thinks he's a good guy, but, you know, why he is so violent and mean and terrible, we don't know. And I also feel like he's going to draw, he's going to follow Daryl all the way across France for vengeance, right? And it just seems like vengeance, like who's got time for vengeance in the apocalypse? I mean, I guess it's 12 years on. They do say that it's been 12 years. And I guess, you know, the apocalypse, people are getting used to it. There's not that many zombies around anymore.
Got to do something. That's a bad
yeah.
five.
But his big vengeance trip is a little, I think,
yeah.
I hope that we're going to get a little, I guess I just hope we're going to get a little more motivation for this guy. As a, you know, like as just a character. He's very, he's lacking in motivation right now, right? He's just in a gang. He doesn't really seem to be connected to the Janae. Is her name Janae or her title Janae?
Yeah, her character's name's Janae. Doesn't it, though, tell why he's after Daryl, though, in this one?
Yeah, Daryl killed his brother.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. We know that there's that.
Daryl killed his brother, although, like, he attacked Daryl first. Like, Daryl was defending himself. Daryl, you know, Daryl killed him in self-defense. And although the guy does
kill him because he was attacking those people or whatever that he didn't know were.
He killed a bunch of nuns and he was going to kill Daryl if he could. I mean, it was definitely a self-defense
move. No, I
mean
I meant the brother originally, because the brother was the one that attacked those two people that attacked Daryl.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. He wasn't at the Abbey. The brother was in on the attack of
yeah,
the two people who first attacked Daryl. It was a self-defense
move.
The
people he attacked were bad too, but that didn't mean that guy wasn't bad. So
I mean, when you go around marauding, like, it's a dangerous profession being a marauder, right?
Yeah.
And your brother got killed. Of course it's terrible to lose your brother and he's upset and sad, but also you know, it's not wholly, like, I don't know, unexpected, and he's gonna follow Daryl across France apparently. So I guess so. There's like maybe two enemies because Janae is gonna be after him also, right? Although they seem to have very little chance of being able to catch up with him. Somehow they're gonna stumble upon Daryl in France, just like everybody in the apocalypse.
If they can do it in America and catch people easy, they can do it in France. Although France is, I think, not as big as where they go in the United States all the time on this show, necessarily, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a part, so the kid's, like, neighbor up the road is this mean, creepy guy who lives in a castle and filled the boat
with zombies.
He just happens
to be an American.
He just happens to be American. I have no idea why this particular person was in France, because he's not very, I mean, I don't know. He seems like a real fish out of water, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah.
But somehow in the conversation, Daryl mentions, he's like, this guy seems to have not gotten any news in 12 years that America was also overrun. He seems to think that while Europe was overrun, if you could get back to America, everything would be fine, right?
Sorry to burst your bubble, but that ain't going to happen.
No, but I guess every apocalypse show, I mean, in a lot of apocalypse shows and movies, that's a rumor, at least in the beginning. Like, remember in Resident Evil when they were trying to get to Alaska, and I think, you know, they were... Anyway, Daryl's like, yeah, I've been to Texas. He says, I've been all over the place. I've been all over the East Coast. I've been Midwest, even Texas, and I'm telling you, like, nobody alive, your family's dead or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's a story. Like, somehow off screen, Daryl went to Texas at some point. I wonder if he bumped into Morgan Jones while he was there.
I was just thinking, I'm sure at some point he did. Maybe we'll see that later on here.
Right? Maybe we'll see that in a flashback. Like, that's a show. Like, when we had originally heard this show was going to be Daryl and Carol, like, roaming around, I kind of thought maybe that, you know, that's the show we're going to see them roaming around, like, the United States. But anyway, Daryl's been to Texas. To me, that was, like, the highlight of this episode. That was the big, like, news. Daryl's been to Texas.
He's been to Texas.
Post-apocalypse, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. So, anyway, we're stretching this out, but did anything, I mean, nothing really happened. This was a slow, I guess
well,
this
I
was
think
a character,
lot of it
character
was about,
building episode, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was about learning about Laurent and about Isabel. But yeah,
yes.
Not that much, like, you know, I guess you want to say mythology-wise the story happened. This episode was pretty self-contained.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
yeah, there isn't
really
a whole lot in that sense.
I mean, it's important that they take the time to make these two into real characters. Like, if
mm-hmm.
she's the true co-star with Daryl Dixon, then we need to know her and get behind her and root for her and understand. And Laurent is not really a I mean, at this point, he's a bit of a MacGuffin, Laurent, right? Like, he's not a he's
we
not
don't
a
really
character. He's not. Yeah, he's not like a Carl Grimes who has his own storylines yet or whatever. He's a little bit of a yeah. They could be trying to bring anyone or anything across France right now, and I don't know if he ever will become like a. I don't know, but yeah, it's important that they take this time to make these characters real to us. So. In that sense, you know, it was fine. And we know, even though this is like a, what, 8-episode one and done, we know it's not. We know it's getting renewed, right? It's not
yeah.
renewed yet. It's only a matter of time before this gets
no,
renewed.
No, I'm pretty sure it's renewed because they already started filming it, didn't they? They gave
oh, yeah,
them the go-ahead to film season two. They, like, gave them the permission or whatever. They've been given the permission to finish filming or whatever.
Oh, to shoot, yeah, outside of the
yeah,
strike?
I believe so, or they're going to start. I don't know if they have it, they have yet, but it was like, there was like an article saying that they were given permission or whatever amidst the
No, maybe it was all written before the strike started. Some shows were written already before the strike started.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, it would have had to have been written already, I guess.
Although SAG's, no, SAG's on strike, the actors are on strike also.
Film or something like
that. SAG's on strike also, though. The actors are also on strike.
Right, but remember, not everybody in this show is part of the union, and
well,
yeah,
but I mean, if you could shoot the Europeans without Daryl, I guess you could shoot some extra scenes.
Well, yeah,
but
that's true. I don't know whether or not
it's expensive to start production and not run through it. Anyway,
yeah.
I don't know.
I was just trying to find it. I know there was an article something about that they were given the go ahead.
I think. Oh, I think AMC. I think the union gave AMC the go. AMC is not governed under the same contract as the studios, right? And AMC got permission to, yes, AMC got a waiver to shoot because they're not under the same contract as the studios. It's coming back to me now. That's the reason
yeah.
why. AMC got the waiver, not
resume
the show.
Resume production. AMC. According to Deadline, AMC negotiated with SAG-AFTRA to secure
mm-hmm.
an interim, I can't talk, agreement for the series to continue filming amid the strike.
With the actors, but not with the writers. Anyway, the point is
well, no,
that
not, the writers. I think it was written. I think.
Anyway, the point is that the show is not going to end after one season, and you know if these actors are going to continue, then this is a character building episode, and it's fine. It wasn't really that character building. It was very like fast moving, like backstory, and I don't know that I know Isabel that much better than I knew her at the beginning of the episode, but we know like. Where Laurent came from and that she's been lying to him for some inexplicable reason for like his whole life. Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like you're not letting on that you're his aunt. Are you trying to not build an attachment? So when you send him away, like he'll go or I don't know. Right. Like what's the reason to deny the kid the knowledge that he has a relative? I don't know. I guess we'll find out more about
yeah,
that.
Maybe then he would, not look at her the same. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have an
yeah.
answer to.
It's kind of sad, right? It's kind of sad that
yeah.
they're raising this little boy this way.
yeah.
in some ways. I mean, they don't mean it to be mean, but because they think there's a greater good, but it's kind of mean.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I did not see a promo for next week. I'm trying to think any good zombie kills this week. Not really. There was some, you know, I mean, we're getting to see Daryl not with a bow. Like, we're getting to see Daryl with the mace and the nunchuck and, like, a sword,
oh,
right?
Little,
and
his little nunchuck thing, yeah.
And the mace, which
yeah,
is like
that.
Yeah,
is that a mace or nunchuck? It looks like a nunchuck with a mace at the end.
Right, the spiky ball on a chain.
Yeah,
on his
I
stick,
remember
that's
at some point I had looked up what kind of weapon it was, but that was like when I was watching it a long time ago. I don't remember what it said, but that little.
You
thing.
Know, it's interesting to see him in this kind of hand-to-hand combat. It was interesting also when the guy, the Texan, gets thrown off the wall
and they're hanging
there. By a rope,
yeah.
and all the zombies are getting him. And at first, I was like, why are the zombies, like, all reaching up trying to grab his head? One, they just bite his legs, and then all of a sudden they started biting his legs. But we didn't see any, like, I mean, it was fine. I mean, it was a fine episode. Like, there's not really, not a ton happened, but there's not much to really complain about. And I didn't
know.
I don't know.
It wasn't really a lot of mythology, whatever you want to call it. It was.
There might not be much to complain about, but Karen, you sound like you're struggling to find anything you like.
Well, I am, because nothing. I am. I'm struggling to find anything to talk about, because really, nothing really happened in this episode, story wise. Thank you, AJ, for pushing me on that.
I mean, I liked the episode, but I see what you're saying. Like, it didn't really. Like we said, it was mostly flashback, and it was like a self-contained episode. It didn't necessarily move the story forward a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, really, it was just kind of an episode that happened, right?
Well, for an episode that nothing happened, you guys have been going at it for half an hour, almost.
All right, well, we're done now. All right.
All right, Wheel of Time.
More on that next week. Wheel of Time.
Yes.
Finally, stuff is happening on Wheel of Time. Some of it's very annoying. Some of it is,
you know, I gotta tell you, I clearly did not remember a lot of that. Starting back out watching it, I struggled to remember and figure out what the hell was happening. Did you feel like that when you first started watching the second season? Like, I really couldn't remember a lot of what was going on and trying to remember who was where.
Karen always watches the finale from last season first.
I do. I always watch the last season finale before I start a new season, so it helps me to remember where we left off. And it doesn't, on a show like this, it doesn't bring back everything, but it's really helpful to watch that. So, yes, I did that, and I was kind of caught up. But, yeah, this episode is like... I don't know. So I hate the, what are they called? The Shan Chan. I hate the Shan Chan. Shan Chan. How do you say their name again? Anyway, the new people who, the fingernail people.
The Dark is just using that guy, and I don't know any of their names, but the guy that he brought back or whatever. The main bad guy that's there right now. He's
main bad guy.
The I don't know what they're called. I'm bad at remembering names of things.
You mean his name is Ishmael.
Yes.
Ishmael. Yes.
I guess he's just kind of using this group of people in order to get what he wants to happen. Like, he needs them for battle or whatever, but he's sort of using them because I found it funny that the guy who's the leader of that group thinks he's works for the light. That was kind of surprising because I thought that they were, because obviously the woman with the fingernails you're talking about, obviously she's not a good person to begin with, regardless of her working with Ishmael or whatever his name is, because they, you know.
Wait, who
their,
do you mean the Forsaken, or do you mean the Shan Chan?
The Shan Chan, the one who,
yeah.
The woman. Obviously, she's not a good
person.
The
one that lost her fingernails.
Shows her might by, like, they grab the women or children or whatever. We don't know what they really did to them, but to whatever, we're showing their might to force the people to submit to them. So,
yeah.
Obviously, she's not good, and it seems like they're, like, a bad group. But then when they show the leader of that group, the man that was there, the one that doesn't talk for himself most of the time, I found it interesting that he thinks he works for the – well, I mean, I guess he does. Because he reprimanded her or whatever, but, I mean, he thinks he's, like, on the side of the light. You know what I mean? Like, he's not – he wants to bring the countries or whatever – not the countries, wherever they are, the groups of people together. At least that's his goal. And obviously that isn't her goal when she's going against him. I just was surprised because I thought that they were, like, all on the dark woman that was, like, going against them to do that, I guess. Because she – we don't know what her secret is other than Ishmael said that. That he knew why she turned to the dark. We just don't know.
Oh, wait, do you mean the High Lady or do you mean Leandrin?
No, the one that he cut her fingernails off. The one that's
okay.
The,
she's called the High. She's called the High Lady. High
Lady. The High Lady.
Okay. Yeah,
so the High Lady is obviously working for him and working for the dark. But I'm just saying, like, the way they presented that group of people, the Shan Chan or whatever. Like, it made it seem like they were this evil group of people, which it seems like they're not necessarily because she's going against the leader. I was just saying, like, I was surprised because it wasn't what I guess I expected them to be because they made it at the beginning seem like they were this evil group, and it was more just she was evil and, you know what I mean, and hurting people to make them in.
The High Lord says that it is his mission to conquer all of the people in the world so they can be united under the Empress to fight the Shadow, right? Like, he believes...
That's what I'm saying. He thinks they're doing good.
Well, he may have been, I mean, with many, many conquerors in history thought it was for the benefit of people to be conquered, right?
Yeah, and I'm not saying they are good. I guess I'm just saying that I assumed the whole group was, like, part of the dark.
Well, and
I
we did have a character.
When it showed him and we find out that isn't necessarily what he's after.
And we did have a character say to Perrin, look, the Shan Chan aren't that bad. Once you take the knee, they pretty much leave you alone, right?
Yeah,
but
they take their women and children.
Right, but what Jamie,
they don't listen.
What I think Jamie's trying to say is, that they don't realize, the Shawshank don't realize they're working for the dark. Like, they want to fight the dark, the shadow, but they don't realize that Ishmael is, like, the second in command and that they're being manipulated.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, when you first see that High Lady and she's really cruel, you know she's really cruel. It makes it seem like that whole group is going to be like that. And like I'm not saying he's a good guy, but they're not like...
Look, the High Lord clearly is suspicious of Ishmael. He does,
yeah.
like Lady Scott, High Lady Soroth may be in his thrall or have cut a deal with him for whatever reason, but the High Lord definitely is suspicious of him, right? However, there is the whole issue of what they do to women who can channel. And they torture them and enslave them, right?
Yeah, and that's why I said I'm not saying they're a good group of people. I'm just saying, I assumed they were part of the dark. And I was just surprised when he's like, oh, no, I want to unite the people. I want to make the world better. Not that he's a good guy, but, like, he's not.
He's misguided. Whether it was Ishmael who gave him the idea or someone else, he's misguided for sure. At best, misguided. At worst, so there was all that. I mean, I did kind of love when they chopped off her fingernails because I've been highly irritated by the whole fingernail. Well, I'm like, why do they grow those two disgusting fingernails that they use?
Can they cut his off too?
And then he chopped them. I was like, and did you see all the people around her reacted like as though he had chopped off her fingers? They were like, oh,
yeah.
Oh no.
I know, that was funny.
Yeah.
So there's still sort of a so I got some problems with the show. I appreciate that they brought this storyline together with our main characters pretty quickly. Like, they just appeared last week or 2 weeks ago. If this was Game of Thrones, it might take, like, 14 episodes before they ran into anybody else we knew. Right?
Well, Westeros is a lot bigger.
Yeah, Westeros is a lot bigger. So I appreciate that it quickly is revealed that Leandrin is actually a member of the, what's it called, the Black Aja. You know, she's one of the rebel Aes Sedai who worship the who are in with the dark.
Well,
side.
Yeah.
The dark one,
which,
serve the dark one.
I mean, to be fair, surprising. I don't think she was originally in with the dark. She joined with the dark to save her son's life.
Oh no! That is not made clear
no.
at all.
No, it's not. No, it's not said.
That's how I took it, that she agreed to do his bidding to save her son.
No.
Because she clearly, as much as she's in with the bad, she seems like she's struggling with that decision. I mean, in the end, she at least unties her and gives her this look like she hopes that she screws him over. So,
no,
I don't know.
See,
that's how
I took that
it.
A totally different way. I think she doesn't like the High Lady. So I think she wants...
Yeah.
Nynaeve to take her out so that she can move into the position.
Oh yeah.
Like she's climbing the ladder and she's taking people out along the way.
Yeah.
She has her own, you know,
okay.
It has
See,
nothing
I
to do with her son.
That different. Because she made
her
think
son is old. Listen, her son is old and is going to die, period. It has nothing to do with her son.
But
she
had that
you know what I like
with not Egwene, the other one. She had the conversation with her, and she said something to her like that she did it, you did it to save your son. Like,
no, she didn't. She said, look how great your life is now. She's like, oh, it, you know, is it worth whatever you're getting paid? Your son is dying. You're a giant bitch. Everyone hates you. You know, she says all these things to her, and she's like, I hope it's worth whatever you're getting paid. She does not say that at all. She basically says, like, look how shitty your life is. So how's it going for you being in service of the Dark One? Because your life is shitty, is basically what she says there, I think.
Yeah.
I'd have
right?
to go back to the conversation because I took it.
I think you,
yeah, that's
I took
exactly
it
how I took it, too.
She betrayed them.
I don't think she has any intention of making her son immortal. She can't. I don't think there's a way to make him immortal. She did want to alleviate his pain when she brought those drugs to him. But I don't think she has the intention that he could
really
somehow be saved.
Mortal, but I don't know.
I mean,
he's like 90.
They humanized her, and you know, the last 2 weeks we've been like, you know what, she's not as bad as we think she is. She's actually, you know, she's very smart, that's for sure. But it's like her relationship with Nynaeve that we've seen, that we see her with her son, you know, and then we see the stuff with Matt. So, you know, we know she's still deceptive, but it's like, they humanize her, and we think she's not as bad as she is, and then they say, guess what? She's worse than you think she is because she's thrown in with the dark because she doesn't believe that they can defeat the dark. So she's like, screw it. If you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah. Nynaeve's like, how could you do this? And Leandrin's like, look, everyone's got a price. And Nynaeve says, was your price worth this? Because your son is, I don't think that is, no. I agree. She's climbing the corporate ladder of evil. And she hates High Lady Syrus, and she would be perfectly happy to take her place. And believes she will. She believes she's going to be seated at the right hand of the Dark One when the time comes, right?
Yep.
She's very she has always been very angry about not being able to, she wants to, use her power freely, clearly, right? But she wants to destroy men, obviously. She's a man-hater. Except for her son.
Yeah, she's a man-hater.
and she basically hates all people also, and she very much is, she's power hungry. She wants to use her power more. I feel like she gets off on using her power. She's like a, you know, she's like a, when a Jedi starts to go bad. so I'm glad they kind of, So I think they just kind of write, they humanize her for 2 weeks to set us up for this big punch in the gut that she's, like, very evil, that she's sold out to the dark side. I'd say the one, it is helpful to, so Nynaeve, Egwene, and Elaine are, like, all captured. I think the one chance they've got is that all these evil people hate each other and are constantly trying to stab each other in the back, it looks like, right?
True.
Well, that's what evil does. Evil.
Well, yeah.
There
are
no honor amongst thieves, right?
No.
Well, right. And by the end of it, it's implied. So the Forsaken, the woman masquerading as Celeste, her name is the Forsaken, she had been described earlier by Maureen. She was described as, like, the Dark One's most trusted lieutenant, right? Or, no, Ishmael is the most trusted lieutenant, right? Not the Forsaken. I mean, she definitely, by the end of the episode, they
seem
to
think... Well, he is the Forsaken, right? Or is it just the ones he's bringing out?
She's the Forsaken. The girl demon who...
Celeste.
Okay, so just the people he's bringing back, or is trying to bring back, are the Forsaken. Okay.
No. Her name, she is the Forsaken. She was, like, the reason she is dark, she was forsaken by the man she loved, and she turned to the dark side to try to win him back, and it didn't work. And so she is called the Forsaken because she was forsaken by the man. She is the only Forsaken.
And the person she was forsaken by was the original dragon.
Yeah, but he's trying to bring other people. I got the opinion he was trying to bring more than just her back. Did I misunderstand that? I watched five episodes straight in a row late at night. I was sleepy.
I think, Jamie, that he could possibly have other demon henchmen that he would like to bring back. But
they just weren't called
the
Forsaken.
Only one.
Got it.
No, she's the only one that's called the Forsaken. They're not all the Forsaken. They all have a demon name, and hers is the Forsaken, I guess.
Okay.
But by the end of the episode, like, Maureen and Rand are hatching this plan that they think it's possible to turn her. Like, even the most evil demon.
I don't like Maureen. She killed a horse. I was mad at her.
She had a really good, it was smart to kill the horse.
I don't like the writer that made her kill the horse.
It was, I mean, it was smart, and you didn't see any of it. But talking about, like, everybody who's evil can't be trusted, like, they think they can turn her because she's, you know, now it makes sense how she was kept saying to Rand, oh, you remind me of the man that I loved, and he's gone now, and if I can just be with you for a minute, I can pretend that I'm with him. Yeah, because he was the Dragon Reborn, and Rand is the Dragon Reborn.
He
totally
didn't really was.
Yeah.
So.
I mean,
hold on, Karen. Her love that betrayed her was the original dragon, not the dragon reborn.
He's not the dragon reborn.
The original
dragon.
He
was the dragon.
He was the dragon.
Yeah.
Rand is the dragon reborn.
So,
which is why they think they can turn her, because if Rand can convince her that that he has some sort of the original dragon's memory or something, you know, then she can maybe be turned.
Which he did actually seem to love her, so maybe he can.
Which I think it's, and you know what, honestly, I think it's an interesting storyline, because she turned to the dark because he betrayed her. So, you know, to get him back, I think there is a possibility it could actually work. I wouldn't be surprised. It probably won't, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did. Or at the very least, it
leaves
her off her guard long enough that they find a way to destroy her or something. I don't know, but it's definitely interesting. I gotta say, she's very intriguing. I like her character a lot. She's not your typical, you know, she's not your typical bad guy, you know, in this type of story. She actually has some substance and layers with all, you know, with her storyline.
And
I loved the back and forth with her and Ishmael in his dream when Ishmael's like, ha, you know, he's like, I know it's you. And she's like, oh, you're getting good at this.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. that was a pretty good scene there, I think. I mean, I kind of like them together, the two, like Lanfear.
They're not one note. They're not one note.
They also, her name is Lanfear, the Forsaken. They call her Lanfear. It's her real name, right? And when Lanfear and Ishmael are like in that dream, Ishmael are in that dream sequence where they're in bed together and she's like, they have some good like banter, those two. They have some personality. Like
yeah.
not every character on the show.
Yes.
Like Rand is a pretty big dud with no personality for the most part.
Yeah,
he finally
has
is showing a little, right? And Perrin also is a big dud with no personality.
No, Perrin's problem is he's a whiner, but he was good in this episode. He didn't whine once.
Well, and that's probably on the writers for only letting him, like, he's very depressed since his wife was killed by him, by mistake, right?
Yeah.
And he's just, like, he's just always sitting around being depressed, which is not
good. Oh, and I like that ninja woman that he got with him now. She's awesome. I didn't catch her name.
Her name is her name is not I'm looking at it. I got a thing right in front of me. Her name is Avienda.
Okay.
She's from like a desert part of the country, right?
Yeah.
Like there's all this talk about water. She calls them waterland people or water or whatever. And she comes from like some desert place, so if you give her water, it's a big deal. But they were a little flirty, right? And she goes all John Wick on the Children of Light, who are, you know, they
yeah.
call themselves the Children of Light, but
they're
the worst. Terrible people. They're the worst,
yeah.
right? They're the worst people on this whole show.
Interesting, though, that one guy that, like, they spared, like, he did sort of help them, but yet at the same time, he was still telling his people how to kill her. So I'm not sure why Perrin spared him. Like, I mean, I get he gave her the water and he gave him a hotel, but still.
And that's why, because
wow.
he did show him, he showed him a kindness, so Perrin
yeah,
paid it.
He showed him a kindness, and then he's telling the people that his men, make sure you attack her all at one time so she can't kill you.
Well, she wouldn't kill them. It's one thing to show a prisoner kindness when they're in a cage, but she wouldn't totally kill them all. I mean, he's telling
that's
them
true.
How to not get killed.
No,
Jane,
I just thought it was funny.
And how to kill her, right?
Yeah, I just thought it was funny because he's, like, sicking them on her, and then they're like, we'll let you live. I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, found it a little funny.
I mean, he just gave her – I mean, their intention was to leave her in that cage until she died of thirst and hunger.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're
and he gave her
water, basically, right?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, but she would have killed him.
So
but
bad.
It's because of Perrin and who it's because of Perrin and who he is that they
yeah,
spared him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was
she
Perrin
would have killed
who,
him in a heartbeat.
Who,
yeah, she didn't.
And because Perrin let her out, she sort of has this like
she's beholden to him.
Owes him her life.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
yeah. She's beholden
yeah,
to him
whole,
in some way.
That's a whole my life.
Said, right?
My life
yeah.
is yours now thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, come on, the guy gave you some water. I mean, yeah. And that guy's going to get kicked out. That guy's, it's a good thing he's the only person who lived because otherwise he'd get kicked out of the Children of Light if anybody knew what happened. I didn't even really know what the Children of Light's deal. I can't remember. They were, remember
well,
the first season?
Boss knew he gave it to him because he gave it to her because he screamed at him.
Remember that guy?
Perrin and Egwene.
Well, that remember in the first powers. Yeah, remember in the first season he was trying to see if they could channel, and he has all those rings.
Yeah.
He's killed all those Aes Sedai and taken they're anti magic. I think there's some like
yes
anti magic religion.
Yeah. Kill
over right?
magic people. Yeah, yeah, they're bad.
I don't know if they. He was trying to force them to channel to reveal themselves, right? I don't know.
I just remember
yeah,
he cut off the fingers of all the Aes Sedai, and didn't he eat them or
okay.
something? I can't
he
remember.
He had all their
really...
rings. He did not have their fingers. He had their rings. Did he chop off their fingers? He had
Unless
rings
that was
on a
something different
ring.
In the screeners. He definitely did in, when I seen it.
At,
but
at,
I
any,
saw
rate,
it
at any rate, these guys have not been around for a long time, and they suddenly showed up. And I'm not really sure.
Probably the kind of thing that it's because there's too many characters in the book, and they just, like, tried to shove them back in again.
I think they, I think what Perrin did was go back to the town that he was in when the Shan-Chan took over and killed his friend, and he and Leo were kidnapped. Leo. And then the town has been I think the Children of Light liberated them from the Shan-Chan, right? And that's why the guy was like, "Oh, the Shan-Chan's not that bad. You take the knee, and they basically like these guys are way worse, right? At least the Shan-Chan are like whatever."
Yeah.
Bend the knee. We're out of here. These guys are much worse. Religious zealots always are, right?
Yeah.
I found that fight scene a little because this show, half the show is always in the dark, and I can't see any damn thing that's happening. They suck at night scenes on the show, really. I mean, right? It's just a hard time figuring out what the hell's going on when it's dark, when it's night. And they also the scenes with Rand and Moraine and the horses and that woman and the chase through the night, whatever. I'm like, what is going on?
I'm starting to think you need a bigger TV, maybe. I don't know. Maybe new glasses. Maybe turn up the brightness on the TV. I didn't have trouble with you. Last week, I agreed with you last week when ran the scene with Moraine last week and what's-his-face, Lan. I agree with you then. I didn't have any trouble in this episode seeing anything.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Netflix, for me, is what's usually too dark to see half the time.
I mean, it wasn't X-Files level of, you know, old episodes of the X-Files. What the hell is going on? It wasn't like that level. No, X-Files, you could never see Jack because it was made in the 90s. And everything was dark.
Maybe part of that was because they didn't want you to see anything, too.
You could hide the bad practical effects. I think that this show, with the amount of money that Amazon is spending on the show, I feel the see shit happen at night better.
Is this show 4K? Because I find, at least is this show 4K? I don't know if it is or not.
Everything's 4K.
Because I find with Netflix, at least, that when the shows are 4K, it seems like they're way darker, and I think it's because it's supposed to have, like, the better color or whatever, and I think, like, that sometimes when it's in that high def or whatever, that it, like, to me it looks darker anyway.
I think it has more to do with whether they shoot day for night or night for night and how they light it in post if they're doing day for night and stuff like that.
That's true.
I think that has more to do with it. I also thought that fight scene was maybe edited a little too quickly, like too much quick screens and quick cuts in that fight scene where I would have liked to see that John Wick action a little bit more. But it was still fairly badass and a good scene, right? And she does seem to be a good character, particularly if she gets Perrin to speak more than three words in a row and maybe actually crack a smile this season.
It was funny. When she pulled up her little mask there, I said to Artie, I was like, oh, I'm going to like her. I was like, oh, she's going to be badass. I'm going to like her. Just that little thing. I was like, yep, I can see where this character's going.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see also, just as Perrin was starting to, like, get some answers from Elias is the other wolf brother,
yeah.
Kind of guy who told him who he is. Elias seems to maybe not be, I mean, they might cross, they've gone their separate ways at least for now. I liked them together. Elias had this way of being like some straight talk to Perrin, you know, and also we, the audience, were getting some answers just as he was. And it looks like he's not going to Perrin is the slowest character to explore his magic, right? Like, if you thought you were a part wolf, wouldn't you be like, oh, let me hang out with some wolves and figure this out?
To be fair, Perrin doesn't want to be magic. You know, he's kind of repressing his wolf side. So it's not really surprising.
Yeah, it's not surprising, I guess. He's going to start to slowly. And now he's got a wolf friend that hangs out with him, right? The one wolf came with him.
Yeah.
So he's maybe starting to build a pack a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you know what?
And
you know what I hate about Elias though? He's like your friend. These people aren't your pack, and your friends from Two Rivers aren't your pack. You know, and neither was your wife. And it's funny because Elias, you know, is talking about how, you know, everybody, you know, they're afraid of them, they hate them and everything. But, like, you're not being any better than the other people. Like, you're doing exactly what everybody else is doing, so you can't try and say you're better.
Yeah.
You know, parents actually got the right idea. I don't have to have a pack of wolf people. My pack is my family, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he essentially says that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you don't know anything about me, you don't know anything about my pack, yeah. And so the only the one thing we're missing is that is Nynaeve, of course, being a total jerk. As God, Nynaeve is a jerk. I mean, I like her, but she sure is a gigantic pain in the ass all the time, right? And like they escape from the Seanchan. Egwene is kidnapped, and Elaine's like, look, we got to hide. Everybody's looking for us. And Nynaeve was like, Mrs. like, ball in a china shop, like, I don't get it. Don't you tell me. Don't tell me what I can't do. I'm not your, you know. Like, I don't really think that Elaine is pulling some sort of princess on the leader.
She's smart.
Yeah.
She's used to hiding out because if she goes out, I'm sure at some point in her life she pulled a Jasmine and like disguised herself as a beggar so she could walk around town because otherwise people would, you know, be all over her. So she knows how to hide in plain sight.
Yeah, and she's saying simple things like hide behind this wall while the soldiers walk past. Let's change our clothes. Let's not draw attention to ourselves. And Nynaeve is like being a total jerk, yelling, raising her voice, blah, blah. And it was kind of awesome when that warder came up and just, like, knocked their heads together and, like, knocked them against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's really always a jerk, right? She's always a jerk. Not always, but she tends to get
much.
Really, like...
A lot
right?
of times,
yeah.
She gets very preachy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's very preachy. And Elaine was not being a jerk.
No.
So she is a different queen. She's only a princess. She's not the whatever queen Moraine's nephew is getting married to is from some different realm than whatever Elaine is
right.
from. Like there's multiple kings.
Yeah, Elaine's
right?
Elaine's only a princess anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I kinda like her.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a little annoying when we first met her, but she's definitely growing on me. She's not just another pretty face as far as princesses go.
Yeah.
She's definitely...
Yeah.
She's got some real-world smarts behind her, as we saw in this episode, whereas Nynaeve is an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, she's very kind of unstable in terms of her temper, right? And she's always... I mean, this is why... this is probably why she can't control magic, and she's also totally afraid of magic. Like, she doesn't want to, right? This is that thing where she's super powerful and, like, doesn't want to deal with it, and other people, like, wish they had an ounce of her power, right? And she's very, she's really, I mean, I know she's been through a lot, but so has everyone. It's like
so has everybody.
Nobody really has an easy
everybody's
nobody has an easy
lot.
Life, except maybe this princess. But you know, she's gonna be nice to die, so that's not easy either. those two. So it'll be nice to see. I guess Elaine's gonna be a little more of a main character than I thought she would be, at least for now, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, not for nothing. You got to keep bringing new characters in. Otherwise, it gets kind of stale with our core crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. All right. Anything else?
Yeah. All right.
Before we move on?
No. I mean, we didn't. There's a whole subplot going on where the Brown sister, who was on the road for a while with Maureen.
Forgot about her. Yeah.
She's more interested in the romance part of the story between Lan and Moraine than I was that part, but I do like that lady though. That character.
There's no romance with Lan and Moraine.
Okay, whatever.
Well, he's in love with Nynaeve.
Yes, I know that they.
He's in love with Nynaeve. Lan's in love with Nynaeve.
Last time. That part, I don't even remember half of that. But anyway,
The Brown sister, whose name is
I forgot about her.
Is her name Valda?
Now that you said they could do her name, I like her. But I was gonna say, and then the one from Harry Potter too.
She's going all Murder She Wrote up in the White Tower. Like,
yeah, she knows something
around.
Right.
She's like Matlock up in there, trying to like snoop around and figure out what's going on. And right, she's on Leandrin's tail, like she knows, right?
Yeah.
And I hope she's a powerful witch because like she's gonna go up against Leandrin, you know. But so that whole story, that's gonna be a slow burning story, but that's Cho Chang, right? I forgot her name. Her name is Katie Leung, I think, right? Who is also in The Peripheral, in that role. As Matlock's spy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
not that she's in The Peripheral anymore, because nobody is.
Yeah.
Stupid. Friggin'
don't mad about that.
Canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah. So, all right, so we'll see what happens. This is actually getting – so after, like, all of last season and the last four episodes of the show being really boring, I feel like a bunch of stuff is happening now.
Something's
the story's starting
happened.
To go somewhere. And you probably only had to read three books to get to this point. I'm sure the books are better, so.
I don't know. I've heard – I don't know. The books, from what I've heard, are not much better. Which is amazing considering there's 14 of them.
I know, right? Wow. Maybe some are short.
Maybe.
So.
I don't know. Hmm.
All right. So we got this covered for now, I guess, right, you guys? Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Is that all, Jamie, that you have on tap tonight? What else have you watched or done?
I told you about Wilderness. That interview's coming out.
With who?
Wilderness. I had told you. I had mentioned a bit about it last time. With I don't think I've seen. I watched part of Harry Wilde is coming back. I watched some of those screeners. I know you don't watch that. That's an Acorn show. And then Fear is coming back soon. I haven't had a chance to watch that yet, but that's coming back soon. I haven't really watched a whole lot this week. I'm doing a lot of work that has nothing to do with the site, so I haven't seen a whole lot this week. I'm trying to think. I still haven't watched. When I watched the end of Across the Spider-Verse, I still haven't had a chance.
I haven't seen that either.
I watched that other movie too. What was it called, AJ?
Hypnotic? I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, Hypnotic.
Hypnotic?
Really
yeah, it was really good.
I gotta watch
it. It really
that,
was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was out of town for the weekend. I went out of town Friday. I went to, and I didn't catch up on a lot of stuff either. So, all right.
All righty. Okay, guys. Well, have fun.
Thanks.
Good night, Jamie.
All right, Jamie.
Talk
bye
to
bye.
You later.
Stay tuned. All right.
Night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, we got three more shows to talk about, AJ. What do you want to hit first?
Let's hit Ahsoka.
Yes.
Okay.
What the hell was going on in Ahsoka? I'm not even sure you know what was going on in Ahsoka.
No, I know what was going on, I liked it a lot. I still don't understand how she got to the world between worlds, but I loved everything about that. It was so much fun seeing a lot, you know. And I mean, I love it anytime they can bring Hayden Christensen in to do something, and it where it makes sense. Like, and the young girl that was playing young Ahsoka, that's the same actress. Yeah, she was really good. She's the same actress that played young Gamora in what you call it?
Avengers. Guardians.
Yeah. Yeah, Infinity War.
She's a good actress.
She's gonna
there's a flashback in that movie. Yeah. She, obviously they probably had a stunt person, but you can see when it is her doing some of the moves. Fighting with the lightsaber or whatever, and she was good. She was really good. I liked that kid a lot.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, that was like, and it's fun too because like, that was the, you know, that one scene that you see with all the Mandalorians, that was the Siege of Mandalore that they've talked about
on Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I mean, she says like, when Anakin says, "What's this? I don't remember this," and she says, "It's the Siege of Mandalore. You were already gone. You like, I don't. We gone our separate ways already. You weren't here. That's why you can't remember it." She says to him, right? So there is the part where how did Ahsoka fall off a cliff and end up in like the beyond between?
Well, that's what I don't get. I the world between worlds. Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Okay.
I'm as lost as you are on that one. I'm as lost as you are on that one.
I didn't really totally. I mean, so while I understood everything that was happening between Anakin and Ahsoka on some level, I kind of didn't get the part where he's like, "Do you want to live? We want to live or die." Like, I feel like he's implying there's the implication that Ahsoka has given up and doesn't want to live, which is not really a thing I've gotten from her character at all in this show, right? Like, the idea that she would not choose to live didn't make sense to me.
Well, I think it's in that moment because, even like, it's... See, they kind of lost me there a little bit, too, because if she's in the world between worlds, then she's not really in the ocean. But I think that's what it was implying. Like, are you going to wake up and live, or are you going to just sink to the bottom of the ocean and drown?
I gotta swim out of the ocean.
Yeah, I think that was it was a whole metaphor thing.
You're taking it more literally, and I was taking it a little more existential.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so I don't, of course, I haven't watched the previous show, Rebels, and Ahsoka, those shows are that she was in, right? Like, I imagine that if you were the Padawan of Anakin Skywalker, you probably are a conflicted person, even though she left him long before he became Darth, or she left him around the time of the Clone Wars when he starts becoming Darth or whatever, right? Like,
well, no, she left long before he started the turn. She left long before that. And she never found out he was Darth Vader until much later. Like, he was already Darth Vader. Like, she had heard of Darth Vader, but it wasn't until she came face to face with him that she realized who he was.
All right, so she had no experience of him, like, starting to turn, but still you'd be, like, surprised, right?
But I gotta say, I loved those, the way they did those flashes of light, like, during the battle, when he was walking, he's like, "Come on, we gotta press forward, we gotta go," and he's walking away, and that, like, the flashes of, like, Vader's silhouette going over him, and then and then when he's walking towards her, in the world between worlds, they kind of did it a couple times, too. I thought that was great. And his face looked much better this week. I almost feel like the deep fake looked so much better in this episode. We complained about it last week. I almost feel like they forgot to edit it. I almost feel like they, like, last week, because it was such a quick thing, that they either said, "Ah, screw it," or they forgot to finish editing. because this week I saw no problem. He looked nothing this week like he did that awful thing last week.
No,
this
week
he
looked
great.
This week. Yeah.
He looked really great. He looked better in this than he did in Obi-Wan in the flashbacks. Flashbacks to Obi-Wan were a little weak.
Yeah.
This, he looked much better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed all that stuff with him.
I wanted to ask you also, so part of their conversation, there's a flashback to a battle. I forget what battle it is when she's a child. And when he's saying, come on, we got to go. I got to turn you into a warrior. And she's like, but wait, I'm a Jedi. And he's like, look, the Jedi used to be fighting for peace, but in order to win this war, blah, blah, blah. And it is like the clone, like, I'm like, okay, that's the Clone War. Yeah, that's before the rise of, you know, the Empire War or whatever. But there's this part where she's like, but my legacy, my part of this is pain and death. And, like, she seems to be very, like, she's very conflicted about killing and pain or whatever. And I'm like, wait, like, we've seen her kill a bunch of people on this show and other shows, and she's not so I was just wondering, is that a thing that she struggled with as a child that's familiar to you from the previous shows, or was that, like, you know, she's so, Rosario Dawson is playing her as almost without emotion. Like, Ahsoka in the last few episodes, she doesn't crack a smile, she doesn't crack a frown, she speaks in this very, like, sort of calm and, like, not a monotone, but a very even-keeled kind of, right? Like, she doesn't ever show emotion, really. And so I wasn't, like, that whole bit about, like, I'm causing my part in this new death, I was like, oh, is that a thing she's... I wanted to ask you what you thought about that, if it's something that I missed because I don't watch that show.
Yeah, I mean, to put it simply, she's seen some shit. Like...
All right.
She's been through a lot. to be honest, though, her stoic nature in this has kind of surprised me, too, because it's not the Ahsoka I'm used to seeing. And I think it's just, you know, that's the thing, like, you're not really explaining it to anyone. I can only go off, my assumption is that she's just been hardened over the years. And I feel like she's more... like that around Sabine than she is. Like, when she was with Hera, she wasn't quite as stiff. But when she gets around Sabine, her whole demeanor changes.
Well, and when she's with Luke and Grogu on The Mandalorian, she wasn't exactly a laugh a minute, but she had a little more personality.
No, but she cracked a smile. She definitely cracked a smile when she was talking to Luke.
Yeah, and she was nice to Grogu until she was like, I can't deal with this kid. He's too much.
Yeah, I think they just she's older now, wiser, and like I said, she's seen some shit and she's been through some shit and you know, she did not have an easy time. I mean, she left the Order, but only because they basically are going to kick her out because she was just not having it anymore, you know. She was basically like, she's like, you guys are a bunch of frauds. This is bullshit. And, you know, like, let's figure this out and stop making shit worse. Like, she was calling the Jedi out on their shit, basically.
Well, they did become this sort of, like, cult of men who had all these rules and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a part of...
Yeah. She called them out and then was like, you know what? I'm out. I'm done with this shit. And she left.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is a part of, like, Anakin's story and, like, a little bit of her. And this is, I read some of this, so I can't really, like, I've been reading up on Star Wars every week as we watch this, right? Because I've missed this big chunk of, not just these two shows, but there are, like, Thrawn is, like, huge in the novels, which are considered canon, right? Like, there's a whole bunch of property that leads into this. And there's this idea, like, you know, Ahsoka being so stoic and isolated and on her own all the time, and her best friend's a robot, whatever, and then to see Anakin and remember this relationship, like, I was reading about, there's this part of, like, you know, Anakin, like, there was this part of the Jedi where you have to give up really all human connection. You have to forsake your, you can never get married, you can never have children, you have to forsake your family, you have to be this, like, lone gunman kind of a guy, except you're in the union of lone gunmen, right? But, like, you have to, like, go it alone, and you have to give up, like, human connection, and then Anakin, by, like, falling in love and insisting that he was going to be with Padme, like, going after that connection, not only violated their rules, but, like, is the precipitating thing that leads to him eventually becoming Darth Vader, right?
Yeah.
In many ways. And then, you know, of course, then, you know, his son takes the Jedi away, doesn't, like, you know, doesn't make any connection, whatever. This idea of, like, connection and that, you know, Ahsoka, like, has this connection with Sabine that can't really be denied. I mean, it's a older sister, younger sister, or a mentor, mentee. I'm not really sure what it is. I haven't watched that show, but it's a, there's definitely, like, a real affection between them, right? And a respect. And it's like the, anyway, this whole bit about, like, human connection and, like, the Jedi deny it. Is it good? Is it bad? What does it do? Like, that was, like, I'm like, oh, that kind of is playing a part in this maybe, right? Like, she had a real connection with Anakin. Like, what was their, I mean, Anakin, like, so the Christian, the Hayden Christensen Anakin is a young man, right? And he essentially,
yeah.
I mean, so if she's a Padawan, her parents aren't around, he's, like, raising a little girl, basically? Is that what he's doing in this show?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty
so
much.
He's like her uncle or her brother or something, kind of, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're always kind of played more as, you know, I mean, Obi-Wan is constantly making comments about the two of them. You know, they're definitely a brother and sister type relationship.
Big brother, little sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the difference, age difference of like your oldest and youngest kids, right? Like your oldest,
yeah, probably
19, and has like a 10-year-old brother, right?
Yeah.
Like basically. That difference of a really much older, but anyway, there's that. But I digress. That this wasn't even the really best part of the episode. Any time that we complain that the special effects are not good on the show, it's because they blew the entire budget on the star whales, and it's worth every penny that they put into that. It was awesome, right? I will not complain
yeah.
if anything was
oh my
crappy
God.
For the rest
I
of
got,
the season.
I got chills when they jumped to hyperspace.
Oh my
speed.
God!
I was like, oh
it
my God,
amazing.
That was like. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen them do it, you know, on Rebels, and so I saw it animated. But to see it live action like that, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Right?
Yeah, that was great.
We saw some of them like in the previous episode, but to see that entire pod of them like
yeah.
sailing by, you know,
I love when Hera is like. I love when Hera's like, you might want to move the fleet and get out of their way.
Yeah. Because they're not getting out of your way. They're not moving. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I mean, it looked fantastic. I kind of wish Jamie watched the show because, you know, she has a real interest in effects and design and stuff. But also there was a little bit of a Doctor Who vibe going on there. Doctor Who also has had Star Whales, a very different storyline, but, and there was, and that idea, partly what I loved about it was, like, everybody who's sitting around in space right then, like, that guy, Coulson Teva, the guy, you know, the, he was also in The Mandalorian, right? That guy up in his X-Wing who has to, like, delay the whole fleet for 5 minutes. His name is Carlson. Carlson?
Yeah.
Carlson? Something like that, right?
I always forget it. Yeah, Carlson.
He's up there. Hera and Jason are up there. The fleet is up there. And I loved how everybody had this look of wonder. On. Like, these are people who fly in space on a daily basis and go to planets and galaxies. And the look on their faces was incredible. It just really helped put me in the place of, like, wonder and awe at seeing these things.
Well, and that's the thing, because, like, I think one of the characters even says it, that, you know, they've heard of the space whales, but not a lot of people have ever witnessed them. Like, Hera has seen them before, but Jason never has. And it's also one of those things where no matter how many times you see it, you're always struck by awe because it's just so awesome.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's a little kid, but I'm surprised that Hera has seen them, but I don't really know why I would be surprised.
Hera saw them in at the end in Rebels when
they took Ezra away.
Blasted off on them, yeah.
When they took Ezra away, or whatever happened with Ezra. I loved that scene. It was incredible. It's one of the most kind of amazing and beautiful Star Wars scenes, or really space scenes, and they did. I mean, they did a great job on that. So now apparently Ahsoka is able to just walk on the outside of moving spaceships at all times. Granted, they're in the atmosphere, right? Granted, they're not in actual space. They're in the atmosphere at that point, right? They're in the clouds. So in theory, she could breathe, although if you and I stood on Mount Everest, we couldn't breathe, but whatever, right? She's hanging out there, and she's like Jedi mind talking with the whale, sort of. And the whale is like, yeah, you can come with us inside my mouth, which is kind of awesome, right? They go in the mouth. And I guess my favorite part, and maybe your favorite part, is when what's his name? Huyang? Is that his name? The robot?
Huyang, yeah.
He's like, something that takes where we want to go. And Ahsoka's like, I don't know. I don't know. Let's just go with it. And she actually cracks a smile and chuckles and has a little personality. Like, she really lightens up in that scene, right? I think in that shot, she was a little more, to me, she was a little more like, oh my God, she smiled and her face didn't break. That was pretty awesome. That must have been an awesome ending to Rebel, right? That's what you're saying is like the way it ended. I don't know if it's the final
essentially.
Scene, but a great way to.
It wasn't the final scene, but that was the climax. Was Ezra basically grabbing Thrawn and jumping on a whale and getting blasted off?
To like take Thrawn away, yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty, it was great. It was a fantastic, awesome scene. Loved it. It looked beautiful. They did a great, great job with it. I'm not sure where the show is going next, because the whales are going to jump, but there's no guarantee that the whales are going to wherever they took Ezra. I mean, maybe they understood the Jedi mind trick. Not mind trick, but, you know, the Jedi telecommunication, whatever we're calling it. But there's not really any – they don't really know where they're going.
Well, the show's going to take a quick left turn if they don't.
Well, yeah, that's where they gotta go.
The storyline's gonna get very skewed.
Yeah, because kind of the point of it is finding these two.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I'm not sure I see how they wrap it up in three episodes, though. Oh no, it's 10. They're five.
Well, see,
now,
that's
right?
The thing. This was episode 5, right? So, yeah, 3 episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're not going to, I don't think. I bet we only see Thrawn and Ezra for maybe a minute or two at the end of the finale because we still have the movie's coming, you know what I mean? So it's not going to get it's not really going to get resolved.
But you don't think it goes to a season. It's going to go to a movie.
No, I don't think so. It's just set up.
Yeah. But that movie's not anywhere near. Yeah, but.
No.
So they'll get a glimpse of him maybe, and then there's a movie to. I mean, what is that movie? Is that an Ahsoka movie? No, this is a movie that's bringing all of these threads together, right?
It's no one person. It's Mando. It's Boba Fett. Ahsoka, you know, Hera and Sabine and Ezra and and who else? You know, probably
Andor.
Strand and no, Andor is before. Thank God,
yeah,
because I couldn't handle any more Andor.
Because he dies in Rogue One, yeah.
Yeah, screw Andor.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, it was. This might turn out to be like the highlight episode of the season. We'll see. I mean, hopefully.
Yeah,
can
I
do more
probably will be. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
I mean, how do you top Star Whales, right? You kind of don't.
Yeah.
How they would. So. All right. I don't know how long it was either, but I guess it was kind of, these are kind of short episodes, usually. I mean, you know,
They've been kind of fluctuating. I mean, we've had a couple, like, 38-minute episodes, and then, but I think this last episode was, like, 55 minutes, actually.
Oh, almost the whole hour.
It was definitely a little, yeah, it was definitely, it might not have been that long. I know it was definitely longer than what we've had.
Yeah, well, we sometimes get some that are as short as, like, 38 or something.
Yeah. You know,
minutes,
and that's
so,
one thing
yeah.
I like about a lot of these, the Star Wars and Marvel shows. There's no set, like, you know, you turn on ABC and you know you're watching an hour show or you're watching a half hour show. It is, and that's it. There's no wiggle room. There's no nothing. That's what the time slot is. With these streaming shows, a lot of times, you know, you get what you need for what the episode is written. Sometimes we feel like we get a little shortchanged.
Yeah. Yes.
But
you said it. I like that they make it as long as it needs to be, but I just sometimes think it needs to be longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Probably move on to Invasion.
Oh, Invasion. Okay. I've been kind of
waiting
for this
episode. Which would be
kind of
quick because I mean, not that nothing happened, but it was very self-contained with the kids, and it was just it was a lot of walking.
Well, yeah, and I don't know when we've gotten an episode, if ever, that was only one point of view character, or you know,
yeah,
or characters that we didn't fluctuate back to another point of view at all. But yeah, it was really self-contained. It was a lot of walking. And that walking included a lot of, like, social dynamics with the kids.
Yes.
A
lot of
good
stuff for the kids, especially that scene with Monty and, oh, crap, what's the black kid's name? I'm drawing a blank.
Is that one Alfie?
Alfie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene with Monty and Alfie when Alfie's like, I don't trust you. I want something real. And
yeah.
Monty finally opens up.
Yes. Yeah, Monty really is starting to, I mean, he's opening up a little bit. I also like the scene with the other guy who's not, what is the other kid's name? The kid who says, like, look, I know that Monty's a jerk sometimes, but you know what, Alpha, you're just as bad right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember like,
his name.
His
name is,
Ralph?
That boy's name is, Darwin.
It's Ralph.
Darwin.
Oh, Darwin, yes, yeah, that's right.
And Darwin's like, yeah, Monty was a jerk to me in school, but you know what, it's the end of the world, and let's cut you some slack, and you are being just as bad. Like, and he says, like, everything doesn't have to be a fight. Like, it's true that Alfie is like, sometimes Monty's not even really being a jerk, and Alfie is just like,
yeah.
On him. I mean,
up in his feet.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess Alfie could be traumatized from years of Monty being a bully to him, right? I don't know. But, I mean, I love their dynamic. I think Penny's been kind of a good addition to that gang of kids a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
In terms of showing up, at least in terms of showing a side of Monty that we wouldn't have expected, right? We'd expect it from him. So there was all that. There were some side shots of Casper basically lying in a hospital bed while these other kids draw pictures. And I don't really, I haven't always really loved the way Casper's doctor is shown to be kind of sympathetic. Her name is Esme, I think. Dr. Esme, right? Is that her name? And she's always, like, very concerned about these kids. And I'm like, wait, you have all these kids that you, like, basically kidnapped away from their parents, maybe not Casper, but where these other kids come from, that are being kept in this lab and being experimented on. And, like, I get that it's the end of the world maybe, but they try to make her sympathetic. And I'm like, wait, she's, like, not really a hero. And then we also see Casper comes to Jamila in a dream, I guess, right? He's still communicating with her, has a special connection with her. But, I mean, for me, really, the highlight, that set in the tunnel was pretty cool. I'd like to point out that even though they're underground in the dark in a tunnel, I could totally see everything at all times happening. Never once was I like, what is happening on my screen? It's so dark. Even when it's night and the completely black aliens attack, I can still see. Thank you, Apple. but that was, I mean, you know, it was a very sort of like haunted house kind of scenario. Like you're in the haunted house or you're on Stranger Things and you're in the Upside Down. It was like that sort of haunted house episode that they did with the aliens. And of course the thing with the aliens is the big thing. Like this whole episode is kind of a setup to reveal the change with the aliens. And so I really have been waiting to hear what you thought as you watched it and saw what was going on with that.
I didn't know what I was watching some of the time.
Thank you. Me too.
It was weird the way, like, they were, those, the aliens were, like, in hibernation, it seemed like. They were, like, curled up in a ball, and then all of a sudden they just came to life at the, you know, when the kids are almost out, you know, and having that, to give us that dramatic scene.
Right, and everybody around the world thinks they're dying, right? Like, everybody in the French hospital is like, everybody in Paris is like, woo, they're dying, it's on the news, they're dying. We did it, they're dying. And it does appear in the beginning of the episode that, you know, we've just gone through this thing where they've taken down, you know, Mitski hacks the signal, and they take down seven ships, and it seems to be like I kind of bought it that aren't, I mean, I knew they weren't really all dying because it's only episode four, but they did kind of seem to be dying, right? Until you saw that they were kind of glowing a little bit, dormant a little bit.
Yeah. It's like they're recharging.
And then shit happens with them, right?
You know what it's almost like? It's like, okay, so every time they shoot down a mothership, they all stop. You know, all the drones stop. And then it's almost like they were rebooting to another mothership. Like they were reconnecting they were getting their signal.
Yeah, because there's more motherships up there than just the one, right? There's a bunch of them. Then they start coming after them, and they're like totally different aliens, right? Like, were you like, wait, when I saw that for the first time, I was like, wait, what? Those look like dogs. What's going on? And I like stopped and rewound it to watch it again and see what's going on with them. And they're like totally different type of aliens, right? Not totally different, but they're like reformed. The spike monsters, the spike aliens are moving differently and look different, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So were you, I mean, I was kind of like, really like, wait, what? What am I looking at? They look totally different. They look like dogs. They look like, are they dogs?
That's what I was, I was thinking they look like hellhounds.
Yes. I was thinking they looked a little bit like things in the Hunger Games when they like turn people into those like dog things at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they had totally, like, changed into a different kind of a creature, running like a dog. When Alfie tries to spray them, they're no longer – like, fire was the one weapon that guaranteed worked, and they seem to not be harmed by fire anymore. So,
yeah, they've adapted. Well, they seem to have a thicker shell. They seem to have a thicker shell now. It seems like almost.
Which could just be because of their new
design that it looks that way.
Yeah, they run a little bit like a dog. Dog that has like, you know how some dogs have like a German Shepherd has like shorter legs in the back and longer legs in the front, and they run in that sort of loping gait. Or I thought they were running a little bit like the way like a silverback gorilla moves. And working like as a pack, right? Like previously you'd be attacked by like one spider spike thing. Okay. So I should be calling them what they're called is the worker alien, right? So I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the interview I did with the,
No, I haven't yet.
The special effects guy. So he was like, yes, those first ones that came down, they're the worker alien, the ones that are spiky and they move by like sort of tesseracting and whatever. They were the worker aliens, and they came down, and their job was basically to terraform the planet and, yes, kill people if they had to, but they had a job to do. And, like, this new they did their thing, and when the mothership came down, I mean, they outlived their usefulness, and they've evolved into a new kind of a creature that is more useful, and Eric Henry calls them the warrior class. So they were the worker class of aliens.
Makes sense.
And they are straight up drone. He was pretty clear, as you said last week, these are drones. They're not like, you know, they operate by commands from the mothership. But he refers to them as really having been the worker class, and now they're the warrior class, and that it is really the same. It's the same creatures. You saw them sort of curl up and die, but as you said, AJ, they were sort of hibernating, and they just, like, reformed themselves into these new warriors.
That's pretty cool.
That are adapted to our planet. So the spike, the drones come down, the workers come down, they look like spikes, and as he described it, what they intended when they wrote it, when Simon Kinberg and Eric Henry, the writer and the VFX guy, created it, those spiky versions, it could have been any planet. That's what they look like, and this is just the planet they picked, and they sent those things down here as they would on any planet ever. And now they have evolved to our planet, and for whatever reason, being like a dog works for them. It works for our gravity. It works for chasing humans. It works for killing people, whatever. If it had been a water planet, they would have evolved as, like, some type of a fish kind of creature or something.
Fish, yeah.
They took a form that worked for them, and the form is, he said they had wolves in mind when they kind of designed them. And he said, like, basically it's an evolution, and it's a form that works for them on this planet. He did not say this, but it makes me wonder, could they evolve again? Right?
Like, I would definitely think it's a possibility.
Yeah, like, I don't see why
definitely
not,
a possibility.
Right? Yeah. They were pretty scary, I thought. I kind of felt at some point like that Jam and the gang, were not appropriately frightened while they were in the tunnel. But they're kids, right? And I guess they react differently than humans. They can't evaluate the humans.
I mean,
they're adults.
Penny seemed to be genuinely scared. I think she was appropriately scared.
Yes. She's also appears to be the smartest one of the whole bunch, right?
Well, yeah, there's that.
There's that. But they seem to be not. But we know that adolescents don't calculate risk the way adults do. And they don't really, they can't really get it. Their brain is not fully grown, and they've been living with it for 4 months. So, you know, they're a little, I don't know, used to it. When you get used to living in fear, you can't always be afraid, I guess. Right.
Right.
But they were a little like you're in a tunnel with aliens around, and they're constantly fighting and yelling at each other over like granola bars and shit. Right. Oh.
which teenagers are prone to do.
Yeah. And, you know, in their defense, they did not know about the, how the World Defense Council took down all those, like, they were listening to, like, crappy rap music and singing and whatever, and not listening to the news. Lesson learned, always listen to the news during the apocalypse, during the alien invasion. They didn't even know that
to
they
be fair, did
completely
they,
died.
To be fair, did they even know that the radio stations still work on cars?
No, they were.
I'll be honest. I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised when the soldier said, "Didn't you hear the news?" I was like, "On what?"
Right? Like, wouldn't aliens be jamming our signals? Like, it was kind of surprising when the president went on like TV last week and was like, "Dear humans of the planet, we have a plan and we're going to shoot down some ships." Woohoo! It worked, right? Like, she gives this big address, and I'm not really sure how people were able to see it. I'm thinking of like, remember in Independence Day how they had to use like Morse code because the aliens were jamming everything, and wouldn't like if I'm an alien, I didn't really shoot down all the communication satellites, right? But whatever. Somehow, maybe shortwave radio works. I don't know. But, yeah. But apparently, like, satellite radio still works, and you just play your playlist with your crappy rap songs. So, I mean, I thought it was a great episode. You're right. There's not a lot to talk about. It was a self-contained episode. You know, there was a lot of... It was really Monty's episode, right? Monty and Penny get so much character development about their parents, about their life. Penny's a little bit of a – I don't know what's with Penny. She's a little different than other kids, I guess, right? She's a little –
I get the feeling Penny's on the spectrum.
I think so, too, the way, like, she freaks out and she's
soothed by maps. A little bit of autism there. Yeah.
She's soothed by maps and diagrams and mazes and things like that. She really, I mean, she's great, but the little sister's always great. Remember in Stranger Things how we're like, oh, my God, the little sister.
I was just
going to
say.
Erica.
Yeah, I knew you. Yep. Erica, yeah. I knew you were going with that as soon as you started to say it.
Mm-hmm. But also the way she humanizes Monty. And you see that, like, this bully at school actually, like, is nice to his sister. And we're learning that his life at home was not that great, right? Like, his parents fight all the time and that kind of thing. Parents are rich but not attentive. And I've seen next week's the next couple episodes, so I know, you know, what happens when they get to Paris, these kids. Socially between them. But, yeah, I thought it was a good episode. I really liked it. But because of
Paris is a happening place. Got a zombie adventure on one show, alien adventure on another.
Another show, yeah. Kids in coma who can come to you in your dreams. Kid on Walking Dead who's the savior. Actually, they're both the savior, I guess, right? Like Casper seems to be, between him and Mitski, they're the saviors, right? I mean, he seems to be, like, he seems to be a little more special than the other special kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So now the four-episode show, because which is going to be just a big mishmash of what the fuck is going on.
All right, we're going to take it, we're going to take this in a chunk, right, in one big chunk of a show.
Yeah. Because there's no other way to do it. Holy crap.
So the three first episodes dropped together. Apple dropped the first three in a big chunk, I think. I watched the first three, and then I had to come back and watch the next one. So I had those three in a chunk. Those first three episodes are amazing. The fourth episode, the island episode, is a little
–
that's where the show takes a right turn, the show, a total right turn, right? How'd you like it? I mean, I know you watched it probably because I was like, I watched the show, you really should watch it, right? I mean, you'd heard about it.
It was already on my list to watch.
Yeah.
And then you had already started watching it, so I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to have to start watching it now. so we could talk about it on the podcast, especially once you said it dropped 3, and I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, got to start watching. I think Lakeith Stanfield is great in that. I mean, he's a great, great actor.
He is. I love him in everything I see him in, so no surprise how great he is.
He's amazing in, like, that second episode where Brian, the baby, is born, and he becomes, like, the primary caretaker, and those scenes of him as a father and then dealing with his wife. I don't know where you want to take. There's so many great things about this show, but one of the things I loved about the first few episodes was the way it was. I'm like, is this a horror movie? Is that lady a witch? Or is Emma just really tired and postpartum? Is she hallucinating? Crazy? Is she possessed? Was this like a death foretold by the witch in Brazil? Like, I loved all that. And as we get into that, I felt like the first episode had like a slow build about their past and how they met and how they got together. And I think that pays off. That's time well spent. It pays off in the next couple episodes, right? I don't know.
What
do you think?
You know what I love? You know what I love, actually, is usually, and this is something you and I both usually complain about, is voiceovers. But I like this voiceover. I feel like it's not overdone. It gives enough information, and it's fun kind of in a fun way, you know? Like when they're introducing the characters and they're talking about the parents, you know, his parents and the past and everything, and about why he's so persistent, and then it shows how his father was so persistent and everything. And the voiceover kind of helps put it all together for us. And the voiceover kind of shows up at just the right moment, and sometimes it's just a sentence or two without being overbearing. And because it's like it's being told as a fairy tale, which I think is – very interesting because this is more like a horror tale. But then again, a lot of fairy tales aren't exactly happy, like Disney muscles to believe. So I have a theory about the narrator, actually. I could be just way off base. I could just be losing my mind here because the show has gone off the rails.
Right, yeah.
I feel like, oh crap, I'm drawing a blank on his name now. The guy that bought the book, what's his name? It turned out to be married to one of the women.
His name is, we don't even almost know what his name is because he's a lying liar who lies, right? But his name is, what is that guy's name? It'll come to me in a second. As soon as you ask me a name, it goes out of my head, I need 2 minutes to talk about something else to get the guy's name. That guy is like.
But anyway,
you can't even trust one thing guy says.
Well, you know what though? He's told the truth, but he omits stuff, and then he gets called out, and then he confesses. So it's not that he's lying. I mean, it's not only that he's lying. He's an omitter. he's not telling whole stories.
He has lied when he said, I don't know how to steer a boat, right? Like, he's told someone.
No, not true. He showed him that he was watching a video as he was driving it.
Yeah. You're right.
Because you can find everything on the internet. I could be completely friggin' wrong. I don't know. Cause I think he's the narrator is my point.
No, he's not. He's not.
I feel, no. Oh, do we know who the narrator is?
Yeah, we know who the narrator is, and it's not Brian West. No, you know, you're right. The narrator is the voice of the guy who wrote the book. I don't know who it really is, if it's supposed to be a character. But the voice of it, I think, is the guy who wrote the book is the narrator.
Oh, really?
Victor
Victor
LaValle. Victor LaValle is the narrator, and he, I think, wrote the book.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who wrote the book is the narrator. But that doesn't mean
I'm looking for things that aren't there, I guess, because this show is bonkers.
I mean, this is a crazy show, right? His name is William. I wish we could have almost watched this episode by episode, because the first episode where they have their courtship and then Emma goes to Brazil on this trip and people are like, don't go to that lake. And she's like, I'm totally going to that lake. Don't talk to that witch. I'm talking to that witch. And the thing with the string, right? And if your wife came home and said, AJ, a creepy witch put this string on my wrist and said never cut it off, would you be like, clip? Or would you be like,
No, I would not. Nope.
All right, yeah.
I would not be cutting it off. I've seen too much shit. Not cutting it. Now, I get why he did it, though. It was a grand gesture on his part. Because she doesn't need some silly string for her wishes, because he's going to make all her wishes come true. The problem is, he has not made wish number 3 come true. But here's the thing, and this is where it gets really confusing, is this island of women who apparently have all been to Brazil to see the witch.
Right.
Or there's other witches, the one in Brazil wasn't the only one. They've all, obviously, it's intended for us to kind of be scratching our head, be like, and you know what I think is hilarious? Like, they even said, they're like, oh, Emma's a pain in the ass. Okay, so they're not really big fans of Emma.
Yeah.
But they treat Apollo like a piece of shit. She murdered her baby, but then again, I'm just starting to think that it really wasn't a baby. But how does she give birth to a demon because of cutting a string? And then the other woman in the therapy group said, there's a way to get the baby back, but I can't do what I need to do. She had
that baby on the IRT, right?
Yeah.
Like there was a baby, people were around. She had a baby. I mean, unless he was he's in a dream, but I mean,
but did she have a demon baby and only she could see it?
I
have another question real quick. No, yeah, I know. It's bonkers. Do you think that William is the one that was sending her those mystery texts? Because it was him all along to get the Greta.
There's a part of the thing where she has this baby and she's so, and the voiceover is like, in the first stages of sleep deprivation, you get cranky and then you get paranoid, right? Like there's this, like the narrator is giving you this thing about sleep deprivation from a screaming baby. And so I've never had a baby, but you've had babies. They scream, they keep you awake.
I haven't had the babies, but I've been around.
Babies have come into your house. You've fathered children. They cry and whatever, but I don't know if you ever had a really bad baby, but I get it. Like if you get a really crying baby, how exhausting that can be. Like I love that whole part where it's sleep deprivation. Is she imagining it? Is she not? And the husband Apollo doesn't believe her that she's seen these text messages. And so I hadn't thought of it until this episode. Could it have been Brian? I don't know because
No, Brian's the baby. William.
Not Brian. Could it have been William? Because, that implies that he took part in driving her to what happened. That means he's not just trying to find help. Because he says these things. I'm making some connections in my head, but he says these things to Apollo that are well, I saw the news story about how your baby was born on the train. I just wanted to meet you, and that's a lie, right? But how did they come to his attention? Why would he... if he chose to drive Emma insane, why would he do that? And how could he make sure that she found... So it was Cal who sold her the chain. Remember that episode? It's episode 2 or 3 where she's with her sister and she buys the chains,
yeah.
Right? And she was like, chains, what are you doing? And I never thought that's what it was for.
Yeah, not me either.
But the sister also, when they're at a dinner and Emma goes to the bathroom right before she goes into labor, she goes to the bathroom, and the sister is telling Apollo this story about, she's like, you don't know what the third wish was. And then she tells the story about how Emma met this photographer and he was Scandinavian, and did she actually fly to Scandinavia, and she took a nude, she wanted to have a nude photo taken, like artistically or whatever, right? And this guy took her photo, but in the photo, you should see her eyes. She's looking like, right? Remember that whole thing?
Yeah. Yep.
Like,
and
what
that's,
the hell
and
was that?
Something
what,
else.
What the hell was that?
Well, I think that is the third wish. I think because it ended up getting, it's hanging on a wall in a museum somewhere, and she doesn't want it there. So I think that's the third wish, which he has totally negated. And it's going to be funny if it's that simple. But I definitely think it's something that we're supposed to remember, but not really think about, but also kind of forget. I feel like before the show ends, he's going to have to go to Scandinavia and get that picture taken down, one way or another, because that's the third wish.
But that's crazy. Like, you wish to have a nice husband and a nice baby, and that your naked picture's not in the museum. Like,
yes.
They just seem to not be on the level of... But her sister does sort of imply that it's not, like, a picture you would want, right? Like she's not like, oh, it's a very tasteful artistic picture, a beautiful... Like, nude photos can be fabulous and beautiful, right? Like, you should see her eyes. She has this look in her eyes, right? It's very...
Yeah, no,
yeah.
It's definitely, yeah.
You think that's
the
third wish is
to
get that picture back?
Yep.
You think that ties in somehow?
I think it's got to, because the whole point is, she's like, you know, that was a big move you made with everything, you know, the husband, the kid, you know, and then she tells the story about the picture, so it's like, what else could it be?
And that's the thing that he could not make come true unless he's going to literally, like, fly to Norway and go to every art gallery and find this thing.
And at this point, he's probably forgotten about it. He probably isn't going to remember it until he has, like, a flashback, you know, to that day. So, like, since he's been out of prison, we've seen these little flashes he's had of things, like, putting pieces together going, holy crap, you know? At some point, he's going to have a flashback to that, I think, and realize...
Yeah.
Now, what that's going to accomplish and change or do, I have no friggin' idea. But I say William, I like the character of William because, you know,
you
I was wondering what the point of him was with the book and everything, because he's so quiet and meek and everything. It turns out he's quite sadistic. Like, I want to know what he did to Greta that was so awful that she... That, you know what I mean? Like I love the way that these I mean, at least we know with Apollo, he is a victim. Okay. Now
I don't know.
These women
I'm not
are treating
sure
him.
That he's not. I'm not sure he's not in
what
on
do you mean?
It because, well, when
well,
Cal
Apollo?
No, William.
No. I was just I kind of jumped tracks there. I was talking about William, and then I jumped back to Apollo, like.
Okay.
I started to say that maybe William was a victim too, but then I was like, wait, all right, you know what? I want to back up a second. Apollo, we know for a fact, is a victim. We've seen everything with Apollo. Okay? Now, maybe the baby really is a demon, but even if the baby was really a demon, she doesn't have to beat his ass and chain him to the pipe like that. All right? So William's a victim, and these women are treating him like he did something to Emma. That kind of
even
drives
Apollo,
me a little bit.
That Apollo to Emma?
Apollo,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, he did nothing to Emma. He was really very supportive, except for not believing her that she was being stalked, which she totally was. But those chats all disappear. I mean, to be fair, he didn't see any evidence.
Right.
But, okay, yeah. I mean, they do treat him like a very, I mean, I think there's a part of it where they treat any person who comes on an island as a, I don't know, there's so many weird things going on because William says he's been looking for that island for a long time and he couldn't find it. I mean, it's in the East River. How hard is it to find an island in the East River, right? It's not like,
that
undiscovered
was kind of,
bay, right?
That was kind of peculiar to me too when he said he's like wow, I've been sailing up and down here forever, and he's like, you find it in one day. I was like,
that implies that it's magical and invisible, right?
Yeah.
And yet then he says, well, oh, I think this is like, what does he call it? It's like not Hartnell, but he's like, this is such an island. It was for sick people to be quarantined. He's like, well, wait. So
you know
if it's no, if it's a known island, could you find it or could you not find it, right?
You know what it reminded me of and made me think of was the island, Fire Island. That's what
Fire
it kind
island.
Of made me
Is that
think
hard
of.
To find?
No, but it just
Is
made
it
me
hard?
Think of it because it just made me think of it because we used to talk about like this is where they used to send the sick people and everything, and it just. Last season of AHS with Fire Island and the disease, you know, with the deer and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it made me think of it.
I mean, much like Fire Island, any island in the East River you shouldn't be able to see on even a remotely clear, like not even a clear day, right?
Yeah.
That was weird.
It did kind of seem
but,
to appear. It did kind of seem to appear out of nowhere, though, out of the fog.
Right. But like, like they seem so like the first three episodes seems like there was this witch in Brazil, and then there's this like malevolent force sending messages that disappear. And truly, like if I send you a text message and I delete it, it says message deleted. Like it's not Snapchat. They don't just disappear, right? I don't really. So there was that. It seemed a little supernatural. Also, Emma seemed to be so crazy by the time she, I mean, that was so shocking when we suddenly see Apollo chained and beaten. It seemed like a big leap from where, I mean, Emma was getting very, but she seems almost possessed in those scenes. Like she walks funny, she moves funny.
Yep.
She seems possessed, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, and then when we get to this island, it seems to more be about, except for the fact that the island, is it shrouded? Can it not be found? Is it cloaked? Whatever. But they
I'm not
seem
sure
to be
what
very,
it's about when they get to the island.
No, but there's, except for Cal being crazy and everybody being crazy there, there's almost an element of being almost like a shelter for women who need to, like clearly there's more to William's story. William was just not,
no.
I don't know that he was just an innocent thought. Like, Apollo was kind of innocent in the whole thing, and Emma just loses it and kills the baby and tries to kill him, right? Or whatever she does to him. And William, like, oh, you know, then there's the story that they had a baby they lost. But then I'm like, oh, you didn't lose the baby. I think maybe Greta killed the baby, but
yeah,
now he
wants
to forgive
her.
In the way that Apollo seems to almost want to forgive Emma a little bit. Yes and no. Like, he doesn't want to, but I feel like William wants to forget. He, like, misses his family so much. I'm going to forgive Greta for killing our baby, and let's just go home, right? Is that what's going on there? Right?
Hey, kind of. Yeah.
Except you can't believe a damn word he says. And there's a part of me, AJ, that thinks he might. I don't really think the women have men in on it, but you know, when Cal beats William with that, like, baseball bat, like, multiple times in the head, and he's bloody and beaten, and then he stands up and has a conversation, and Apollo's like, dude, how are you even alive? I think that's the exact line he says. He's like, how are you even alive? And he's totally, like, not, was she fake
he's
beating
like,
him up? Is he like, the plant in the cell to make you talk? Am I overthinking that?
But talk, you might be, because talk about what? That Apollo doesn't know anything.
Yeah, like, what is he? What, he's not a guy that you're trying to get to talk, right? Like, I don't even know why they don't just either kill him or send him home. And they seem to not like Emma, who was a pain in the ass.
And they make that comment, like, you know, you better have a large slice of humble pie. And I'm like, what kind of, like, confused me, because, like, he hasn't done anything other than he's trying to find his wife who killed their fucking child. So what exactly does he have to be humble about? Like,
yeah,
what is this group
hand,
of women really about?
Because there's children on the island, so they don't necessarily believe in killing children. However, every one of them maybe had one of these possessed, it's not a baby, right? Like, Greta killed the older child. She killed the not a baby. The idea that it's not a baby. Like, is it a demon? Is it a... I don't know. Also, there's the part where when Emma goes to buy the chains, she meets Cal in an apartment in the city somewhere, right? But Cal also lives on this island of Dr. Moreau that's shrouded in clouds or whatever, right? Like she meets Cal in this apartment to buy the chains. And also, why you got to buy chains from her? Can't you just be like, go to Home Depot, get these chains that I told you to get, right? Like, wouldn't that be easier? That's weird, but...
There's no... Because if you go to Home Depot, you got, you know, there's a trail. There's a receipt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then there's this other whole thing, AJ, from the beginning with Apollo's mother and father. Like, that's got to be a factor, right? Like, it's not just Emma there's generational possession, trauma, magic, whatever's going on here. I feel like Apollo's mother and father are part of it, right? Those dreams that he has.
You think so? You don't think? Well, I think that's just his subconscious, because we find out what his dreams were about. His father actually came back for him, and his mother sent him away. So I think that was just repressed. I just think that's repressed memories. I mean, I could be wrong. You could be right. I feel like it was, for me personally, I feel like it was just for character development, you know, showing what he's been through, where he came from type thing.
Okay, but I felt like, so I could be wrong, but I felt like in this last episode where they show Emma has taken the suitcase, Emma goes to the pier and she's shown, like, on the camera, but then we see a previous flashback to, I thought it was, we saw both mother, like, you know, when we see Apollo's mother taking the, Emma's mother taking the red suitcase to the pier, but then it's Apollo's mother taking the red suitcase to the pier, standing there, right? Like, and then
and
the
then,
very
and,
end,
and,
like,
and at the
is
end,
that a Dina Porter?
And at
the
end of the episode, yeah, it's a Dina Porter at the end, standing at the end of the pier. So, you could be right.
So,
I just didn't know. I didn't know what to make of that. But you might
we
be on
I mean, we definitely saw Apollo's mother with the 70s hairdo and the whole, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was some fucked up shit. That was some fucked up shit, too. With Apollo's mother when she was working, the boss had the hots for her, and she turned him down. So he, like, started making her work Saturdays. I was like, that's some fucked up shit.
Right? And then just...
I mean, granted, unfortunately, we all know that that's how men treated women in that time period. Unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
So...
And he's basically, I'm going to force her to work till she goes out with me. Like, what?
And I love the women in the office. They're like, girl, he's hot for you.
And they're like, you better watch out. He'll never give up. Like, they've been there. Some of them have been there before, right? And then there's the whole thing with Emma's mother, which she had she also had suppressed memories or incorrect memories of her past with the fire.
Yeah.
Where her mother tried to kill them all. And her sister had been lying to her, like, she and Apollo both stand their past.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel like we've been here before where we feel like you don't hire Adina Porter to do, like, a couple scenes as the mother-in-law. And, like...
Well, I mean, she could. I mean, she absolutely could. I mean, it seems like she's going to have a little more going on. But she absolutely could. Especially
she could,
in a short show like this, you know.
do a little work and move. Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like that whole thing with the mother on the pier on the suitcase, like, and the fact that they both have these past owners, I feel like is there going to be some generational thing going on? And I did want to, before we hang up, point out the part where, while Apollo is, like, sort of he's the protagonist and the nice guy, did you catch that part where he's going to rip his brother off when he found the book?
Originally,
like, he was going to, like, not – Patrice is his brother, right? And he was going to try to sell it.
Well, no,
they're
like brothers, but they're just best friends because they have that conversation about the first time. No, because they had that conversation about the first time they met. When they met at a book sale thing, and Patrice tells that story about, you know, do you know why you're my best friend? Because you don't care that I was in the service. You don't thank me for my service, you know? Like, you found out I was in the military, and you started talking about books. Like, you didn't even, you know. And then I love that scene with William in the diner when he's like, hey, did you know he was a Marine? Like, of course, I thanked him for his service, and Paul was like, that's good, because he loves that.
He took an instant dislike to William, and also in the scenes on the boat, it's apparent, right? I feel like on the one hand, he's going to have to save Apollo. On the other hand, I love that Apollo he's like this perfect great guy, and there's this huge flaw where he was going to, like, not, like, also, it was Patrice who was like, I found this book, this house, come to the sale. Like, Patrice invited him to come, and he finds this first edition, and he's going to, like screw his friend out of the money. Like, finding this big flaw, not a big flaw, but this weakness in him. Like, we could say that he did it because he wanted money for his son, and is that admirable? I don't know. But also, I think in this last episode, there's some, you know, that tribute site to that creepy Facebook page of, like, a tribute to William.
Yeah, that's weird.
To Brian, that has all these freaks on there, like, and William kind of gives him this lecture, like, oh, you know, when you start posting on social media, you let the devil in, don't do that. I think William probably created that site.
I got the same feeling.
That William set it up, and there's horrible things on it. And Patrice knew about it, like, William tries to say that Patrice is posting on it, right? Like, doesn't William say, like, this poster is Patrice, or this poster is you, and you're, like, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, that's messed up also. I don't even know. This fourth episode, like, those first three, to me, were, like, just kind of... really well-crafted story that I understood. And then episode 4, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Right?
I completely agree. Completely agree.
And two things could be happening. It could be totally awesome, or it could run off the rails. And you could do both and still be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I hope they don't lose the psychological. They lost the psychological part a little bit in this episode. Like, with William and all that, that's sort of the psychological, but when they got into some lady making puppets and talking in a puppet voice and then being guys with a baseball bat, I was like, wait, are they losing me? They might lose me here. But I liked it.
Yeah, that was...
dormant, yeah. I have high hopes. I have high hopes for it. I mean, the book was very popular, and Apple is doing a good job with, like, its sci-fi, paranormal, fantasy, horror kind of stuff. Lately,
they've been doing some good work with their adaptations, so.
Oh, yeah. So, are we done with The Changeling until next week?
I think so. I think we're changelinged out.
Yeah.
I think we've covered
kind
it all.
Of done. I will say, I did watch the season 2 finale of Foundation. Was fantastic. The last two episodes were so good, but it took like 16 episodes to get to this point, right? It is so slow and so hard, and it finally paid off, but I don't know if I would have watched the show if there wasn't a strike and nothing else was on, right? But it was so good. It was so good. Maybe if you break your leg and have to sit on the couch for 2 weeks sometime, I recommend you watch it.
I will keep that in
mind. Yep. So I guess that's
all
it.
Right.
There's nothing new coming, right? Surreal Estate comes in on October 4th.
We got AHS starts tomorrow.
Oh, AHS comes next week. Yeah, tomorrow it starts. All right. We'll give it a shot.
Start.
I'll try it. I'll try it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, actually. I only saw the trailer, like I haven't heard anything about this season. I feel like
Nor
this season has been very... The marketing for this season has not been as good as previous seasons. I pretty much forgot about it until the trailer came out. I watched the trailer. 2 seconds in, you see Kardashian, and I was like, oh, yeah, she's in this season. I completely forgot until I saw her, and I was like, oh, God, I hope she's not in it that much.
Maybe she'll get killed right away.
Maybe. Yeah, so... I don't know, I don't know about you, but it's like, I don't think about AHS as much as I used to. Like, you know, after the first couple of seasons, I was like, oh, I can't wait to see what they do next. Now I'm kind of like, really, it's still on? last season, while the metaphor for AIDS and everything was pretty great, and there were some good moments in it and everything, I just felt overall it was just kind of... boring. It
feels
wasn't
kind of the same way that
grab you the same way some of the other seasons have.
Yeah, I mean that one where they were at the beach and you know, the Fire Island one. Yeah, there was another one. Remember Red Sea when it was a split season? There was Red Sea and
yeah, that wasn't that good
either.
Another
one and yeah.
I was disappointed in those.
I think when you do two or three seasons a year, it might be hard to keep up with the quality. And I do think the stunt casting, and I consider Kim Kardashian to be stunt casting.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, is a little old. And, you know, one of my least favorite seasons was Hotel with Lady Gaga. And Lady Gaga is, she's truly a better actress than Kim Kardashian,
yeah.
I'm sure. But, you know, I feel like Ryan Murphy's, like, trying to cast a lot. Yeah, I give it a shot, but I agree with you. This show might have run its course.
And, you know, he said years ago that he knows what the final season is going to be. He's always known what – yeah, he basically has a script for the final season. It's just a matter of, okay, this is the final season. But wait, so this is season 12?
Yeah.
12?
11, maybe? 12? 12.
And I know he's been renewed for at least one more season.
All right. So maybe, maybe 13 would be the one you,
so,
yeah.
So maybe, yeah, maybe next year will be the final season. Because especially since, you know, I mean, a lot of these, you know, we – Our core people are gone, not completely, but I mean Evan Peters and Paulson.
Sarah,
I can't think of her first name.
Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson. There we go. The two of them haven't been on.
Yeah.
Neither one of them were there last season. I think they both had a very quick small. You know, they've had quick small cameo parts in some of the seasons. You know. Two of them have moved on to bigger and better. Not so much bigger and better things, but they're expanding their
other things.
Which I can't blame him for not wanting to be in this. Evan Peters, because I mean he just did Dahmer, so I think that
gotta take some time off.
Reached his crazy quota for a while.
I think he won an Emmy for that. It was a highly acclaimed series. Yeah. I don't know if he won the Emmy. He might have been nominated. It was a very acclaimed. Yeah. So, yeah, I get it. Yeah. All right, we'll give it a shot.
I mean,
we'll try it out. We'll see.
Oh, yeah, I'm still going to watch it and see how it goes.
At least for an episode or two, yeah. All right.
So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We shall return next week. Till then,
yep.
Watch some TV. so you know what we're talking about. Watch Apple shows.
All right. That's right.
All right. Good night.
All right. Have a good week. Bye.
You too. Goodbye.